So I'm just audio recording with my phone. That's why you see that popping around.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll start with just like demographic stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? So when and where you were born to start?
Sure. Okay. So I was born in London, Ontario.
Okay.
1962. Okay. Spent a couple of years there, moved to Ottawa, and then moved back to London when I think I was about 12.
Okay.
And then I actually spent a couple of years at Dalhousie before from when I first went off to university. But I ended up finishing my degree in IBOT.
Okay.
In Toronto.
I was actually born like 30 minutes away from London.
Okay.
Okay, so you went to U of T. When did you move back to Nova Scotia? Was it after that degree?
No. So I did a business degree and I started working in the banking industry. And when I was there, I got my professional accounting designation. But I used to spend all my summers on the South Shore of Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. Well, my teenage years, the summers on the South Shore of Nova Scotia, and fell in love with Nova Scotia. So I wanted to run my own business, and I wanted to do that in Nova Scotia. So I think it was 1996 that I quit my job and moved to Halifax and started my business. So I've been in Nova Scotia since then. So, gosh, hard to believe that's 25 years.
Wow.
So lived in Halifax for 10 years. The whole business thing didn't really go well financially for me. So I closed the business down and got a job in the Valley. So I've been here for the last 15 years.
Very cool. Do you mind me asking what your business was?
So it was a company called Mrs. Beasley's Cookies. We did cookies actually for a lot of coffee shops on the campuses, for the IWK and the QE2 and the Dartmouth General, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing cookies for retail. So at that time there were Dominion stores and IGA stores, but also like Sobeys and Costco and that sort of thing. So
seems like it. I mean, I know you said it didn't go well, but that seems like a pretty big success to me.
Yeah, I mean, it did have lots of successes. Financially, though, it wasn't so great. So,
Food is a very tough industry to be in, from what I've heard.
It is.
Okay, so do you mind disclosing your sexual orientation and gender identity to me?
So I consider myself to be a lesbian and female.
Okay. Awesome. And so we kind of went over places of residence. So you were kind of born in London, went to school in Ottawa, did a little stint at U of T in Dal, and then stayed in Toronto to do business until you went to...
Yeah, so when I graduated from university, I actually did a student exchange, so I lived in Denmark for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spent 2 years at Dal, and before I went to U of T, I spent a year in Calgary.
Okay.
So a little cross-country tour.
Very cool.
But then when I finished, when I decided I wanted to run my own business, left Toronto and I've never looked back.
I never want to go back. And then what did you do? You said you got a job in the Valley. What were you doing out there?
So my first job was as the vice president of corporate services for a cooperative that processed chickens and turkeys, had a feed company, an oil company, egg layers, so table eggs. After that, so then I worked with a group of people and we closed down the poultry processing side and we opened a new company. So I was the chief financial officer for Eaton Valley Poultry, which is up and running and,
cool.
But I'm not there anymore. So now I'm actually working for a company called CFO Canada and they place me into companies that need a part-time chief financial officer. So I can work from home. I don't work 60 hours a week anymore. I can hang out with my kid and my partner more. So, yeah.
How nice. And your kid is a teenager now, in school still?
So, yeah, I have two. So I was the birth mother to my daughter, who is 28, and she lives in New Zealand. Actually just started her PhD there.
Wow.
And then my partner and I have a teenage daughter. She's 15. Fun fact, both girls have the same donor dad.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
Yeah, neat.
It is. I mean, we know him. We are connected with him and all that kind of stuff. But he lives in Toronto, and when my partner and I decided that we would like to have a child together, mm-hmm. you know, getting pregnant as a lesbian and having to go to Toronto to get sperm was challenging.
I can imagine, yeah. It's quite the trip that you don't normally have to make when you're trying to get pregnant. A lot of stress involved, I imagine. It's nice that you knew him, though. I imagine that eases a little bit of the transition, at least the awkwardness of, like, meeting.
Well, I didn't know him before I got pregnant.
Oh, okay.
So this is kind of a fun story, too. So I started, when I was in Toronto, I started a group of women who were all lesbian and wanted to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the women wanted to have an unknown donor.
Right.
So I was actually a sperm runner. You know, I would go and pick up the sperm from him mm-hmm. and then, you know, take the TTC and take it to her, her house. Anyway, it took her a long time and she wasn't getting pregnant, so she said mm-hmm. she needed a break. So I just said, like, are you okay if I ask him? And of course, I'd already met him by then and we chatted and gotten to know each other. So,
yeah,
lucky for me, I got pregnant on the second try. So there you go.
It's kind of like a very sweet meet cute. I'm like, how did you be a sperm donor? Well, I was running for somebody else and we just connected.
It's, you know, not a typical story of pregnancy, that's
yeah.
for sure.
It's better than just rifling through papers and being like, well, you look normal, I guess.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I more and more queer women are having kids, choosing to have kids. Well, so are you know, just queer people generally.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, I tell you, when you are looking for sperm, and we've wanted a known donor because mm-hmm. we've done our research, and a lot of kids want to know where their roots are, where they come right. from. Suddenly, that stuff was like gold. Like you just couldn't find mm-hmm. it. You couldn't get it. It was just like, this is ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
How many unwanted pregnancies are there? And then anyway. We got some good stuff, and
yeah.
we've two beautiful daughters.
That's awesome. So the other one is still with you in the valley, I'm assuming. She's 15.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. That gets through like all of the boring demographic stuff.
Okay.
Other than that, so the next question is, what were your experiences like interacting with the LGBTQ community in Nova Scotia? So in past interviews, we've talked about things like activism, things that you've done, community groups, so like the group that you were talking about.
Right.
That was in Toronto, though. So if there's anything like that in Nova Scotia that you've been a part of, I would love to hear about it.
So when I first got here, because I was starting and running my business, I really wasn't connected.
Yeah.
My partner at the time, I mean, you know, obviously she and I, we were both working in the business, and it was just ridiculous. I mean, at Christmas time, it wasn't unusual for me to work 80 or 90 hours a week.
My goodness.
And my daughter at the time was only 3, so thankfully my mom spent a lot of time with us too, so she, you know, she helped me with all of that. But once that was a little bit more under control, I would say, I had met a woman by the name of, I don't know if you know. She works with the IWTA. Well, she did work at the IWTA. I haven't connected with her in quite a long time. Anyway, and I connected with her because she knew through the grapevine that my partner at the time and I had this daughter. And so there were people who were interested in finding out about how we got pregnant and what our experience was like. And so we connected with a few people that way. And then through that, I found out about the youth project. So I actually worked as a just a group facilitator for the youth project for a few years. And so then I got to know Leanne Wichman and her partner at that time. And you know, I have remained good friends ever since then, ever since, I was 6 when I met Debbie. So, so that's that's how I got connected into the lesbian community. And then, because my partner and I split up, and so as a single woman, I wanted to go out and attempt to meet some people, and so we started going to, like, with and other friends, we started going to, they used to have these dances at, I think it was a curling club or something, down in the north end of Halifax.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were so good. And, you know, so we would go and dance, or we'd go out to the bars and dance all night long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in terms of activism, I haven't necessarily been overtly involved, outside of being part of the youth project, only because between my business and the job that I do, you know, it was not unusual for me to be working 60 hours a week. And you know, I met my partner, current partner, Nancy, and, you know, raising kids, it takes up a lot of time.
Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine. I think, is the curling club the Mayflower by chance?
It might be.
Okay. I live right in the area, so now it's a COVID testing station, which is a new life for it, but that's very cute. And were these, like, at the time, were you going to, like, queer bars, and were they, like, queer dance spaces, or was it just, like, let's go out and dance somewhere?
Having had what I would call the good fortune of living in Toronto, where, you know, there was enough of a community that there were queer spaces that you could go to. So the dances were women only, I guess, or were people who would identify as female. Mm-hmm. And we'd go to queer bars. I mean, Reflections was a big place to go to. But there were a couple of other places at the time, too, where you could go and dance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, oddly enough, when I was a student here, like that was back in the early 80s, there was a bar downtown called The Turret, first gay bar I'd ever gone to.
Yeah.
And I went with a boy, although we went with the premise of finding a girl. That place doesn't exist anymore. It was right on Barrington Street. I mean, unfortunately, it's hard for queer spaces to make a go of it, really.
Yeah, we just lost Reflections and Men's and Molly's, which were, like, kind of the big ones for my time, at least. What was it like? So you said that there were all women dances?
Yeah.
I'm assuming there were, like, mostly straight women, but I imagine that would be, like, a weird thing.
No.
Okay. Oh, there were, like...
No, they were... It was queer women. Yeah, no, I don't think there were any straight women there, to be honest.
Okay, I was going to say, that would be, like, a weird thing to negotiate, like, being, like, lesbians being like, we're dancing, I don't know what this is.
No, it was definitely... They were definitely lesbians. And they were generally around Pride.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense for sure. Oh, that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know a little bit about the youth project. I'm using it as, like, one of the resources for my thesis right now because I'm working with queer femmes, essentially. But can you explain a little bit of what the youth project looked like when you were a part of it?
Yeah, so it was, I think it was relatively new at the time. And my involvement really was as a facilitator I think it was once a week we would meet. And so it was a drop-in and really was intended for primarily the 13 to 26-year-old crowd to be able to come and have a safe space and be with others and that sort of thing. I know that since then, and shortly after that, I believe they put in, like, a board of advisors and a board of directors, and it became much more structured. But I actually met my partner, my current partner, through my friend.
Yeah.
And she's quite a bit younger than I am. And so she was actually going to a drop-in at the youth project. She'd never been to mine. It's not creepy in that way. but she'd never been to my drop-in, but I met her. And so, of course, you know, when I realized that I was going to be serious about this person, I had to leave the youth project because, you know, it needed to be a safe space for her. And so she wanted to go to a drop-in. I couldn't be here.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was that you met?
Yeah.
At the drop-in?
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. And did you guys start dating right away? What did that look like?
Yeah, so we did a couple of, well, we did a couple of, I'm called group dates, like just mm-hmm. going out with friends, but it was very clear I was communicating to her that I really liked her. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't afraid of the fact that I, you know, at that time was six, and, you know, I was introduced to Nancy through my friend, and, you know, we did a pride march together that year, and, you know, so I introduced her quite quickly to my daughter. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, you know, in typical, well, I say typical, maybe my generation, lesbian style, like within 3 months, she moved into my house.
Yeah.
And we have now been together 22 and a half years, so.
Yeah, congratulations.
We've been a married couple.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Which we did do. We did get married, but that took a long time.
Yeah, when did you guys end up getting married?
So, it was 2008. Yeah, okay. 2008. Yeah. So.
Still, like, I mean, I have not been dating age for that long, so.
Right, yeah.
Still a significant
amount. Yeah, 22 and a half years probably sounds like a long time, but.
As old as I am.
We were talking about that with some friends the other day. We were talking about, you know, because they were nice, but some of them were saying, you know, that their parents have been together for 50 years, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we just talked about the fact that, like, 22 and a half years, man, it goes by. Like, it just goes by really quickly. You look back and you're like, wow, hard to imagine. But anyway, hopefully we have another 22 ahead of us.
Yeah, that's so nice. Wow. Yeah, that's as old as I've, long as I've been alive. So that, it's hard to conceptualize for me. But
yeah.
It's very sweet and good. Okay, so that sounds like a good one for that. The next one is... Oh, this is just like a quick, also kind of demographic one. Some of the people in the study were donating materials to the seniors archive. If you're one of those people, we can talk about that. If not, we can move on from it.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Ooh, this is a fun one. Do you have a coming out story? And if so, can you tell me what it was like?
Well, I mean, maybe again, for the younger generation, it's a different experience. But, you know, coming out was a process, right? Mm-hmm. It's never just one story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have two sisters and two brothers, and one sister in particular was often doing this, you know, well, if you have something you want to share with me, you know I love you. And
yeah,
you know,
she kind of knew.
And when I was in Calgary, that's where I met my first long-term partner, and my mom lived there at the time. And, she stayed over one night, and it was, you know, we just pretended it didn't happen, but my mom walked into the room at one point. Of course, we're both lying under a sheet, but we're completely naked together, all spooning, right? So I just pretended that didn't happen at all. It wasn't until I moved to Toronto, and I had told all my siblings by then, and they'd all been very supportive, that I told my mom. And she had come for my graduation from U of T, for my undergrad. She was not happy. She was, you know, she was not happy at all. And, she brought up God because I was raised Catholic, and I'm like, you know, God's not in my life anymore, Mom, because really doesn't like the homos. So, you know, that's not where I'm at. So, anyway, so that was really hard. But, you know, I have to say from a fairly young age, like for me, probably 18, I was raised in a family where, well, one, we're all very confident and assertive. So I was like, if you don't like who I am, I don't really care. So it was just my very immediate family that it really mattered to me, what they thought. Yeah, so that was coming out to her. And then I have to say, like, it's not that I would necessarily say in meeting people, like, at work and stuff, that I'm a lesbian, but I would just talk about my family.
Right.
Like, everybody else talks about their family.
Yeah.
So whether it mattered to people or not, I don't really give a shit. So.
Yeah.
<There you
shouldn't.
laughs> But a kind of a funny coming out story was for me. So he had not been out to her family, and I think after we'd been together about 3 years, we went to her family's for Christmas, and we went to her parents are divorced, so we went to her dad's on the 26th, because that's actually her birthday. Uh-huh. So there was all kinds of family there, and with us, so she was like, whatever, 8 at the time. And all the kids were, you know, playing together, and we were in another room, and all of a sudden we can hear, well, my mom's girlfriend, and that was it. Like, she was just outed by my 8-year-old to her entire family. Anyway, they're very nice people.
Okay.
So it wasn't a horrible thing, but, you know, in some ways she was like, oh, now I don't have to tell them.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of does cushion the blow coming from an 8-year-old. Like, you can't get mad at her.
Yeah, but anyway, we still laugh about that one.
Yeah, my goodness.
But, yeah, I'd say that was about it. I mean, another, I guess, a little bit funny story was when I started working for this chicken company, I hadn't eaten chicken in 20 years. Like, I hadn't eaten any meat in about 20 years. But I thought, I can't be a hypocrite. So if I'm going to work for this company, I'm going to eat chicken and turkey. Well, my very first day there, we had a lunch meeting, and they brought in all these products for us to try. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. So nobody knew I hadn't eaten chicken for 20 years. So they all knew I was a lesbian. So I was always joking about the fact that I was out of the lesbian closet, but I hadn't quite come out of the eating closet when I started working there. So.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's very funny. Yeah, it always seems to be like a little bit of a process of like, you have to do it, you know, multiple times. Did you find, so you told your mom at the end of your undergrad, were you like out to your colleagues and your friends, or was it kind of like you did it all together when you told your mom?
Well, I came out to my siblings over time.
Okay.
Before I told my mom. And then we lived right down town ever around Young and Wellesley, and so we were going to the gay bars. Like, all of our friends were gay or lesbian, and so I didn't have a lot of coming out to do.
Right, it was,
you know,
just
kind of,
at
that time.
I'm dating a woman, so hi.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. I guess, do you think you knew before that point, or was it kind of just like, I've fallen for this person, which means I'm a lesbian, or did you like have a sense of it when you were younger?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a joke. So I was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. I'm not a very big person, so I was often on the top of the pyramids and blah, 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 blah. But I wasn't a head cheerleader, but I had the biggest crush on the head cheerleader. And so, you know, we'd make out once in a while. Now, she was dating the quarterback of the football team, like, just so stereotypical.
Yeah, that's
right?
Like a perfect movie.
I'd make out once in a while because I had such a big crush on her.
Yeah.
Now, having said all that, I didn't necessarily identify as being lesbian at the time. I just know that I liked her and I wasn't interested in dating any boy. So it was probably about 18 when I was hanging out with this gay boy, and we were out dancing one night, and he came out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I think I'm queer too. Like, I think I'm a lesbian. And that was sort of the revelation where I kind of labeled it and decided that, yeah, this is how I feel. So this is who I am.
That's so sweet. Okay. Awesome. Okay. So what kind of experiences have you had as a result of your gender and sexual orientation? I know we've touched on this a little bit, but, what was it like being like gay and out in Nova Scotia, I guess?
So when I was running my own business, the people who worked for me knew, but my customers would not necessarily have known. Now, I was part of a food service organization, and I was just out. And like I said, I would just talk about my partner, her name at the time was, I would just talk about, like, they would talk about their partners, you know, their male partners or their female partners. So, so for me, it was okay. I found it interesting that the community was so small. I mean, having come from Toronto, we go to Pride every year, and even though Pride in Toronto at that time was small, like maybe 20,000 people, you know, that was not happening here at all. So when I was running my business, my customers would not necessarily have known, and anybody who was in a position where they might know, I just, you know, this is who I am kind of thing. So I've never had any really overtly negative experiences. I have certainly experienced people saying ridiculous things that were homophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, we just can't get through life without it. But, you know, never experienced where my safety felt like I was worried about my safety mm-hmm. or, yeah, anybody being sort of overtly homophobic. More recently I worked for this guy, and he was an outstanding leader, but he came from a fairly conservative mm-hmm. background out of Manitoba, and he and his wife were churchgoers and, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, not sort of holy role of Bible thumpers, but God played an important part in their life. Anyway, we had to go to Barbados for a meeting, mm-hmm. and I was going to bring because everybody brings their spouses. And this was, you know, so this isn't that long ago. Like, this is probably less than 10 years ago, but I was going to bring, she'd be coming to dinners with me, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, and I said to him, this is the first time that, you know, I have gone to a work function like this together. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, you don't have to walk around holding hands or wear it on your sleeve. And I thought, you fucking asshole. Like, he had no idea what he said. Because, mm-hmm. of course, he and his wife walked down the beach holding hands. And, you know, so I didn't say anything to him. I know he had a lot of respect for me and, you know, always was lovely with to Nancy, both he and his wife. Like, we became friends with them. But that was one time where somebody said something to me, and I thought, you have no idea what you just said and how ridiculous what you just said is. But, you know, I had a little forgiveness in my heart because I really liked the guy and respected him.
Yeah. That's very hard. I guess, do you have any, like, good experiences of being queer in the city? Like, talk about the good stuff, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know that I have a specific good experience. And I should apologize. I mean, I have a terrible memory. I don't remember last week, let alone years ago. What I've always loved and still love about Nova Scotia, but in particularly Halifax, is the volume of young people because mm-hmm. of the university. And it's just got such a great vibe to it. And I think that that's, you know, that was something that made a difference to me. Now, whether I was queer or not, it might have been important to me. But, you know, being the person I am, I just, it's just a city that has a really nice vibe with a lot of young energy to it. And so I think it's not a bad place to be queer.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Especially coming from Toronto, I imagine that, like, there was a bit of an adjustment period because there is such a, like, such a large queer community there.
Yeah.
Good to hear that Nova Scotia kind of holds up a little bit for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there's plenty of good reasons to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Okay, so...
Now, I should talk about, though, like, when you know, I decided to have a child, again, we were trying to find some sperm because we weren't sure we could work out the logistics of going to Toronto for this to happen. Because, you know, I mean, people who are straight who have regular, traditional heterosexual sex can take a long time to get pregnant. Yeah. And so there was this concern about, okay, how often? So we did investigate getting pregnant at the IWK. And, you know, this was always what I would say is that, you know, lesbians lesbians who want to get pregnant, you know, sperm is it's not a fertility issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's an availability issue. We just need it to be available.
Yeah.
But, of course, so we go to the IWK and we meet with this doctor. The assumption is that there's a fertility issue. So you have to go through, you're supposed to go through a battery of tests, and then you need to pay $600 every time they inseminate you.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was just like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the joke when I lived in Toronto and I got pregnant was that our donor would come to our house, and then he'd come, and then he'd leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the bathroom, in a jar, and away you go. And that cost me a TTC token.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, those experiences don't necessarily hurt my heart. They make me angry, to be honest with you. I mean, I just... Anyway, thankfully, we worked it out. We figured out how we could get back and forth to Toronto. She got pregnant the other street.
So, with this donor dad, the first time he was your donor, and then the second time he was your partner's donor?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It is, because it means the girls are genetically related.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to know his mom really well, and so both girls got to know his mom. Unfortunately, she since passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Because, I mean, like you were saying, they probably really appreciate knowing where their roots came from, and now they have the same ones, and that, I mean, I can't imagine being, like, adopted or something, or...
Right.
Not knowing one of your parents, but I imagine it's nice to like know that your sibling is like genetically also similar to you.
Right.
For some reason, probably.
You know what? That prompted a thought for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe that they have changed this yet. But in order for me to be legally as our teenager, to legally be her parent, I had to adopt her.
Right.
So we did that through the courts in Nova Scotia here, and. This is another one of those, okay, you're just an idiot, but you don't even know it. So, you know, we go in for the adoption hearing, and the judge is like, oh, it is so nice when people like yourselves take on this responsibility of adopting a child. And I'm thinking, you don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I was there when we got pregnant.
Yeah.
I was there when she was born. I have been her mother. I think she was 2.5 when the adoption went through. So we had to go through that process, and it was just this whole, you guys are fantastic for adopting this child. I'm thinking, you're an idiot, because honestly, you should know that we shouldn't have to do this, because she's already my child, right?
It's not like starting at 2.5 years, you're like, now I'll take responsibility, like,
Yeah. You've
been through the worst of it. I imagine that's tough, and like, I imagine there's a cost associated with that, and like a bunch of things that street parents just don't have to go through.
Yeah,
very foolish. I guess it seems like mothering is like has been a big part of your sense of queer self, and like being a queer mother and in a partnership in that sense. I guess I don't really have any questions about that.
Interestingly enough, so our donor is gay,
and
I'm always curious about the genetics. I mean, you know, he lives in Toronto with his partner. We don't see him often.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls absolutely, absolutely have traits and ways of doing things and ways of thinking that are a reflection of him. It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an experiment. The other thing is that, you know, and I just don't know how the biology or the genetics work. My daughter identifies as lesbian. She's not identifying as anything. She's just having fun with her friends. But anyway, it'll just be interesting to see. So, you know, I don't think it's nurture. I think it's nature. And we talked the other day, and she just talked about the fact that, you know, it seems easier now for kids to come out. But that it was relatively easy for her, and she thinks it was in part because she was raised by two queer moms, you know, that there was just never any issue about whether or not she could come out and we would reject her, because that just wasn't even on the radar.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
was probably a little bit of a weight off, like just knowing that even, I don't know, like for me it would be having those role models my whole life of like you can live in a marriage and have kids and like do all the things that regular people do. That's what I was so afraid of when I was, you know, 15, 16, thinking I was queer.
Right.
Was that I wasn't going to be able to have a normal life. So just like seeing that must have been so like reassuring to her.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, I'm excessively independent. So I remember very distinctly at about the age of 13 thinking I wanted to be a mother, but that I didn't want to marry a man. Again, not identifying, but that's just how I felt, right? I'm going to have kids, but I don't need a man for that.
Yeah, it's my kid. You'll just get in my way.
Yeah,
that's very good. All right. Well, are there any other things that we haven't covered that you want to talk about? Those are all of the questions that they've laid out for me. But if there are any other topics,
No, I don't think so. I mean, if I can think of any fun little tidbits or whatever, I'll just send them off to you in an email, and because I know I'll go up and talk to. And then she's going to be like, well, did you talk about this or did you talk about that? And the answer is no, because I didn't remember. But
No worries. I can't imagine having to ask about like 40 years ago when you went to school or something. Like, it's a very...
Right.
It's hard to just, like, be like, this is my whole life. This is everything I've ever talked about, everything that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, it's been very nice chatting. I don't think I've ever talked to, like, a lesbian who's had kids, so it's, like, very cool to hear about. If you think of anything, absolutely let me know. But I am.
And if you're ever at a point where you have any questions about that, you on a personal level, I'm happy to extend my contact information for you to connect with me if you have any questions.
That is so kind. Thank you.